puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsborough. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we discussing this week?
Well, I was not a fan of Winnipeg's abundant mid-century architecture, but I have to admit, my mind was changed by the work of the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation. So we're going to talk about the foundation this week, and in particular, one of its recent publications that I think will be interesting to anyone who enjoys learning about the city's architectural heritage.
And what is the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation?
It was founded in 1996 by a group of six Winnipeggers who had backgrounds in either history or architecture, or both, architectural history. They were inspired by an organization called the Chicago Architecture Foundation, which today is known as the Chicago Architecture Center, and it had been established 30 years earlier in 1966. Now, anyone who has visited Chicago can't help but come away with the similarity of the architecture there with Winnipeg, and there's a very good reason for this. Some of Winnipeg's early architects trained in Chicago or were influenced by architects who trained there. So, for example, I visited Chicago 10 years ago, and I saw all buildings around me that I could have sworn were from Winnipeg because of that connection. You know, I had things like walking tours, bus tours, train tours. Heck, there was even a boat tour that was offered by the Chicago Architecture Center. And so, likewise, the six founders of the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation that we familiarly call WAF, they hope to create something similar here. An organization that would promote interest in Winnipeg's remarkable collection of architecture. WAF is a nonprofit registered charity, and it raises awareness and appreciation of Winnipeg's built heritage and design, and they do this through public education.
And what sort of public education does the foundation do?
A whole lot of things. One of its first projects was a tour booklet called Terracotta Architecture, and it was a self-guided walking tour of buildings that featured terracotta. And if you don't know what that is, it's essentially a ceramic material, very attractive, that's found on the exteriors of quite a few buildings in downtown Winnipeg. One that I always look at is the Paris Building at the corner of Portage and Gary. Beautiful building. WAF has compiled inventories of mid-century buildings, and by the way, they define mid-century as being from 1945 to 1975. And they put things like QR codes. Those are those checkerboard symbols that, you know, you can scan with your smartphone. And they use those to provide information. So if you walk up to a building that has a QR code, scan it, and boom, you've got some information that's right in your hand. They've produced a series of architecture maps for children. And what I find so neat is that they've offered them in a variety of languages. Cree, Ojibwe, Ukrainian, French, Tagalog, Portuguese, Icelandic, Punjabi, Yotuba. You know, the idea is to introduce kids from all over the world to the magnificent architecture that we enjoy here. They offer self-guided tours of the Niaqua Park area of Winnipeg, Silver Heights, Windsor Park. They have a tour of Central Park in downtown Winnipeg. They have tours of the Forks, of Broadway, of Main Street, the campus in Fort Garry of the University of Manitoba, the campus of the University of Winnipeg right next to the studio here. They have tours on themes such as brutalist architecture, queer history, and the work of specific architects and architectural firms.
Are all the tours self-guided?
No. Just like its Chicago model, WAF does offer some walking tours with a live guide. So, for instance, earlier this year, architectural historian Gail Perry led a tour of sites that related to the early 20th century architect John D. Acheson and the buildings that he designed in downtown Winnipeg. There's many of them. Gail told me that she had expected, well, maybe a handful of people to join her tour, but she was overwhelmed when dozens of people showed up. During 2025 alone, WAF offered numerous live tours, but they also had public presentations and film screenings. And best of all, it's all free. Now, of course, they do welcome donations to help with the costs of providing all these services. So there is a donation page on the WAF website, which, by the way, is another wonderful and free service of the foundation. So check out WinnipegArchitecture.ca.
What sort of things can you find on its website?
Well, in addition to information about all those self-guided walking tours, the WAF website contains information on over 3,000 buildings around the city, along with biographical sketches of hundreds of architects, interior designers, city planners, engineers, landscape architects, you know, the people that have contributed to the physical fabric of the city. You know, and it features a store where one can purchase copies of some of WAF's 23 print publications. And this is where we come back to what I consider a real gem that I alluded to right at the beginning.
You said it was a publication, right?
Right. You know, back in January, WAF launched a new book called Winnipeg Places and Spaces. It's a compact 325-page book that contains information on about 400 buildings, landscapes, works of public art, and a whole lot more in 23 neighborhoods around Winnipeg. Now, I say it's compact, it fits nicely in your hand, and it could easily be taken along on one of those self-guided tours, or maybe you want to do a bike ride and take it along in your saddlebags. It's a culmination of years of research by over a dozen WAF volunteers, and I think it's a really fun and informative way to explore Winnipeg, to learn about the buildings that range from the modest to the, frankly, monumental. It starts with one of the most innovative covers I've ever seen. It's a map that's been folded to cover the book, and then you can take it off the book, unfold it, and it shows you all the things around the city that you can see inside the book. I also found, by the way, that the map could be used as a good bookmark. If you want to hold your place while you're actually looking at it and then come back to read the text, well, the map will make it easy. Winnipeg Places and Spaces is subdivided into geographic sections of the city. There's a section on the central of the city, the east part, the south part, the west part, the north part. You know, so if you want to focus on one particular part in your walk, easy. And for each of the places that it mentions, there's a couple of paragraphs of text, and in most cases, a color photo, too.
And what are some of the places mentioned in the book?
Well, as a recent convert to the virtues of mid-century architecture, I enjoyed learning about the many such buildings in downtown Winnipeg. But it doesn't stop in the mid-century. It actually features sites right from the 1980s and 90s up to the present. So, for example, it features the new Manitoba Hydro office tower on Portage Avenue. It was completed in 2009. It has a section about the Canada Life Center, the sports and entertainment center on Portage, that dates from 2004. And, of course, it sits where the former Eaton's department store once stood. It includes a section on the mural that is in the underground concourse at Portage and Main that was created in 1977 by the late artist Bruce Head. It has a feature on the use of Tyndall stone in Winnipeg buildings. Once you've seen it, you will see Tyndall stone everywhere. In short, it tells us all sorts of details, including, for example, the names of the architect or the firm who designed these buildings. And this gives a reader the real sense of the movers and shakers of Winnipeg architecture through the years. You gain a better appreciation of the contributions that architectural design has made to Winnipeg's fabric.
And so if listeners are wanting to get their hands on a copy, where can they get them from?
Well, they can purchase it. It's $35 per copy, and it's available at the Forks and Grant Park stores of McNally Robinson. But you can also find it at Whodunit Books and the gift shop of the Human Rights Museum. And if listeners want to help WAF the most, you can do that by purchasing the book directly from the Foundation's website, because then WAF receives more of the book's cover price. So now that we're on the cusp of the holiday season, I would humbly suggest that a copy of Winnipeg Places and Spaces would be a great gift. You know, if you've got somebody on your list that is history-minded, because it'll really orient them to many things that I suspect they never knew about Winnipeg.
I love, because you have a copy of it with you, that it. How the cover opens up to an actual map. What a cool idea. Thank you so much for this, Gordon.
You're welcome.
What's up for next week?
Well, one of my friends recently received a brochure from his Member of Parliament, and it made me think of the expression, "Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it." A clue is that it relates to a never-completed seaport in northern Manitoba.
Stay tuned. Thanks, Gordon.
See you then. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.